everybody. My name is Lloyd. I'm an alcoholic. Glad to be here. Glad to be sober. My sobriety date is July 27th, 2014. This is my home group. I have a sponsor. And I'm just going to tell my story. Alcoholism runs in my family. My dad's dad was an alcoholic. He hung himself in a mental health facility being treated for alcoholism. My dad was in and out of jails institutions as I was growing up. His brother got really messed up when they were driving from Pittsburgh to Fort Lauderdale on spring break. They were 18 and they were drinking beer the whole way down. My dad was driving and he crashed the car on I-95 and his baby brother flew out the passenger side window and he had to watch him die on the side of I-95. And he had to go home and tell his mom that he killed her baby son. And from what I understand, it like messed a lot of people up. And I don't think my dad ever really bounced back from that. And he was in AA as I was growing up and stuff like that. And my sister, she hasn't called my mom in like 2 years. It's alcoholism, you know. She's suffering, and you know, there's nothing really good going on in her life, I'm sure. And you know, so I don't know if that's why I'm alcoholic or not, but as I was growing up, my mom would be like, you know, if you drink, you're probably going to wind up like your dad, you know. And I just remember thinking to myself, well, shit, I probably will never drink. And you know, when I had my first drink when I was 11, and somebody told me we were going to drink that day, and I was just like, okay. And there was no battle in my head, like, is this a bad idea? Is this, you know, should I do this? It was just, you know, okay, let's do it. And, you know, I remember my first drink like it was yesterday. I was in the Everglades. We were fishing. It was like the last day of summer. I had a six-pack of Ice House, and we had some MD 2020. It was me, my friend Danny, and Chris, and we each drank two Ice House. And, you know, I wasn't drinking socially. You know, I was drinking for the effect produced by alcohol, and it was disgusting, that beer. I remember it was so nasty, and I was choking it down, and I caught, like, Danny, like, pouring out some, and I understood why, because it was awful, you know. And but I asked Danny, I was like, what happens when you drink? He's like, you get this warm feeling inside. And I remember, like, thinking to myself, yeah, I want that, you know, I want to feel different. And you know, we started passing the bottle MD 2020 around, and the first time I drank, I blacked out, I threw up, I came to in a cold shower, my sister was smacking me across the face, told me I've been in there for hours, there was puke all around me, and, you know, I laid by the toilet for 24 hours, and, you know, I swore I would never drink again. I was so sick, and, you know, when I finally got up off the bathroom floor and the pressure of sixth grade came rushing back up to me, I knew I had to drink again. And you know, and it's hard to get booze when you're 11 years old. So, you know, 11, I started smoking pot every day. You know, 12 was LSD, 13 was ecstasy, 15 was pain pills. And you know, if we wanted to drink, we would just steal booze from our neighbors. You know, we'd go around this neighborhood and garage door would be open, and if there was a refrigerator in there, there was, you know, like 9 times out of 10, there's freaking alcohol in there. So we'd run in there and grab that, and we'd just drink. And you know, really, by the time I'm 18 years old, I got to drink and use on a daily basis, no matter what, you know. And you know, I suffered from it, you know. I dropped out of high school. My friends, my circle was really small. You know, I hurt the people that were closest to me, you know, my mom. You know, I learned about AA from a treatment center. I went to my first treatment center when I was 17. And, you know, they took us to meetings, they brought meetings in, and I just thought it was a bunch of bullshit, you know. And I left that treatment center against medical advice. And I left that treatment center with, like, one thing under my, you know, with one thing on my mind, like, I got to get some control under my drinking. And, you know, that hopefully one day I'll be able to control and enjoy my drinking like normal people. And that's a great obsession of every abnormal drinker. It talks about that in the Big Book. And I didn't know that at the time, but looking back, I do. And, you know, I spent the next 4 years just like in and out of AA. I went to two other treatment centers, detox. I lived in halfway houses in South Florida. You know, I just couldn't get sober. And, you know, I couldn't get sober because I couldn't admit I was an alcoholic. That was, like, the biggest thing for me. Like, there's, like, no way I cannot drink ever. You know, I have a problem with drugs, but like, man, I just want to be able to drink. And so I tried. I gave it my all, you know, like I really did. And you know, I got sober at 21, and I managed to stay sober through my whole 20s. I got introduced to this group. I came up to Tampa when Hurricane Katrina was coming through South Florida, and on the way here, like, I had no idea I was driving up to Tampa to get sober and stay sober through my 20s, you know. But God did for me what I couldn't do for myself, I guess, and I wound up coming to this group, and this group really, really saved my life, man, you know, because my big thing was I was, like, 21, and I was like, nobody's getting sober at 21. Like, sober at 21, that sounds like a nightmare, you know what I mean? But I met a bunch of people that were my age, you know, they had a couple years sober, and, you know, they were running around and doing stuff. They were hosting Circuit Paw that year, and they're like, come check this out. And, you know, I got involved with that, and, you know, we would go to all these different conferences and hear these speakers talk from, like, California, and, you know, these awesome speakers that it just, you know, that I was just started relating to, and you know, I knew I was an alcoholic, you know, and I stayed sober through my 20s. I think it was like right around 5 years. You know, I think maybe I thought I knew a little too much about AA and life, and, you know, I had a really big head and you know, my ego, and then, like, I lost, like, everything, you know, and I think that's, like, kind of where I kind of just lost the desire for to do AA, you know, and I hung out for a couple years, you know, and showed up, you know, still showing up, but my heart was, like, not into it, and you know, I ended up picking up, like, 6 years, 7 years, you know, by the time my 8th year anniversary came around, I didn't even pick up a chip, you know, it just became really unimportant to come see you guys, you know, and I was just really uncomfortable when I would, and you know, I think I just got really dishonest with how I felt inside, and like, when people would ask me, like, how are you doing, Lloyd, and I'd be like, I'm good, but, like, inside, it's like I wanted to drink, you know, and I started obsessing about it. I had this work thing in Vegas back in February, and I had a bunch of meetings, and they were at bars. You know, I had, like, all day for 2 days. I was having meetings at these different bars and different casinos in Las Vegas. And they were pouring drinks all around me. And they were offering them. And you know, I remember, like, I ran out of there. You know, I couldn't take it. I almost drank there. And when I got back from there, I obsessed about drinking. And I started, like, plotting it out and thinking of ways and, like, how I can drink, and, you know, and I didn't drink for, I don't know, 6 or 7 months, but I stopped going to AA meetings, you know. I wasn't talking to anybody in AA, you know. I was living in Fort Lauderdale at the time, and, you know, I have a lot of friends here, and they would call me, you know, to check in, see how I was doing, and I just stopped answering, you know. And I don't know, I kept putting myself in positions and, you know, different opportunities to have to turn down a drink, and you know, by, like, the 101st time somebody asked me what I was drinking, I casually ordered a margarita, and you know, I was at Chili's, and I ordered one of my favorite drinks, Presidente Margarita from Chili's, and I ended up drinking 3, man. I got some relief, man, you know, and that's what I was looking for, you know, and you know, I threw away 8 years, you know, and I was spiritually bankrupt, you know. I woke up every day just, like, with the hate myself and want to die, you know. But alcohol works, like, it really does. And so I would have to drink again, and, you know, it was just a daily obsession. Like, every day I'd get up and I'd have to create scenarios and be real strategic too, because a real good friend of mine lived right around the corner from me in Fort Lauderdale, and I got sober with him, you know, like 8 or 9 years ago, and he would just show up all the time, uninvited, unannounced, which he could because it's like my brother, but he didn't know I was drinking. Nobody knew I was drinking. And so I had to be really strategic and like set up these different scenarios to where I could drink. And it just controlled my life. And I didn't stay out too long. I stayed out for like 2.5 months. And I really had no plans of ever coming back to AA, though. And my head told me I couldn't, you know. It was just like, you can't go back to AA, man. You can't tell these people that you drank. And, you know, I don't know, something happened. I think the last time I drank was July 25th. I shut down the martini bar. Yeah. Strange, man. Strange. Strange. Like, and, you know, woke up the next day, you know, bought like $15 drinks and, you know, checking out the bank account. The girl didn't let me come home with her. I was just sitting on the couch like, you're such a loser. You know what I mean? Like, you are such a loser. And, you know, I was so depressed and I was so sad. And I was so sick and I just wanted to drink again. And I'm sitting on the couch and I think James Baskin called me and I didn't answer. And, you know, so I'm like, all right, I gotta try and feel better. What can I do? So I never saw The Pursuit of Happiness, so I threw that in to the DVD player. And that's like the saddest movie I've ever seen in my life. And I'm sitting there, I'm watching this on the couch, I'm like crying, I'm like, dude, this is so sad, but I'm like hoping it gets better. I'm like, hurry up, get better. And you know, and I watch it and it finally gets better at the end, you know, and then it just kind of ends. But and then my phone rings again, and it's Todd, and I'm like, ugh. And I pick it up, and he's like, hey, what's up, man? And before he can even say, hey, what's up, man, I'm like, I've been drinking and I've been smoking. And he's like, oh, okay. And then, you know, I can't really recall the conversation, but ever since then, I just started to get honest with people. And, you know, with people, I just started getting honest, telling them I drank, and I moved back to Tampa, and I picked up a white chip, and, you know, that was awful. It was, like, so hard to do. And, you know, picking up a white chip here, I just remember, like, getting it and, like, walking back that way and just, like, you know, and people would ask me, how are you doing? And all I could say is, oh, you know, for like the first 2 weeks. And, man, it was rough. You know, I don't want to forget that, you know, but I got into the steps, you know, I did an inventory, you know, and I think I'm kind of back where I left off, you know, where, you know, with, like where I got sober last time, you know, when I was doing stuff, you know. I've been going to meetings every day, and really, I was just like spiritually bankrupt. And, you know, and over the last, I'll have 2 months on Friday or Saturday, and it's like every day I just like been adding a token into the spiritual bank account or whatever, you know what I mean? And, you know, I feel a lot better today. And I want, and you know, it's really cool. It's like, yeah, that was really negative that I drank, but it actually, it's turning into a positive, you know, like I like AA again, you know, I love it again. And I'm just so grateful to be back. And I'm grateful I didn't have to, like, you know, do too much damage out there, really. And, lose everything that I gained through sobriety, you know what I mean? And you know, I'm just, man, I just, you know, this group has been nothing but supportive. All my friends are here, and I love you guys. Thanks for letting me share.